Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all weekend? Oh, all week. Can you hear me? All week. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. We had a fantastic week over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew. And our conversation was the things you never say on a first date. Oh, what were some of those things? Well, we definitely don't want to sit across the table and say, it's good you didn't get something in your teeth, because if you did, it'll be like, whoa, and make a Bucky Beaver gesture across the table, right? You definitely don't want that to go down. Oh, because that would be quite insulting. How about, what's wrong with you? You know, so, in other words, you didn't tell me the things that were right with you. Now, what's wrong with you? What about, you're too cute to be single? Oh, what a lame line. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, we coming back because we have some stuff on this list that, you may have to tell people. You don't need to be saying that stuff. You know, this week was rather mild in comparison to some of the stuff that you could say. Okay? Well, we would not be able to finish off our Monday morning if we didn't get the switch tip for the week. And that was, get to healing. Oh, yes. You know, so many things we go through in life, and we think we're fine, and in actuality, we're not. No, the more and more I talk to people, the more I see it, that, you know, we really have a difficult time healing. Yeah, well, we've been talking all week, last week, week before, of what's going on with these exes. And yesterday, we even talked about, you know, an ex who tried to kill up everybody, and the ex-girlfriend, the family, you know, throwing acid in her face, trying to kill her, accused of, you know, trying to have her murdered. Yes, so that's indication right there that people are surely not getting the healing, you know, in the way they need to be getting their healing in. What you think? That's letting me know that there's very little healing going on. Very little healing going on. All righty. So we rolled around to our Tuesday, and we talked about, did God really say, you know, the question that Minister AJ had was, hey, why do we go around saying, well, God said, when we know good and well, God didn't say, you know? Well, that's because from some of our the thoughts that come around from some of our pastors, well, you know, we want to get on the good side of people. Yeah, we want to make it seem as though we know some things, and we, you know, we got one up on them, and, you know, we use that for manipulating purposes, and yeah, the list goes on, and we got to talking about, did God say that so-and-so was your husband or your wife? I've heard that several times from people, and I never forget there was an incident of a young lady who, you know, went around the church telling people, you know, so-and-so is my husband, so-and-so is my husband, and she told the gentleman that God told me you're my husband. And they say he hightailed it and ran, and he never was her husband. And the lady who was telling me the story said that she didn't believe. So she's let me get this right. She said she believed that the Lord did tell the woman that the man was her husband, but the husband had an option as to whether he wanted to be the husband or not. Now, that don't sound much like what God does. God does not wait for man to decide whether he wants to do something or not to prove his word. Oh, come on. And she was supposed to be like some biblical scholar. I'm like, yo. And I didn't even know the Lord the way I know the Lord now. I was like, yo, that don't even sound right. God is not waiting for man to prove that he is correct. Once he says it, it's done. It may not happen for 5 minutes, and you may have to wait 10 or so minutes, but God don't wait for man to confirm whether his word is going to come true or not. So I don't know, but now, listen, let me tell you something. God deals with me very heavily, and I have had to give people some messages. And let me tell you something. I have watched that stuff come true. I mean, come true right before my eyes. Now, it may not have happened yesterday or tomorrow, rather. But, yeah, when God speaks, he says, my word will never come back void. So either she didn't hear that word, or maybe homeboy going to be the husband in like 2036 or something. I don't know. But all I know is the things that God has said will come true. It has never happened any differently biblically. And it ain't going to happen no differently now. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, or like man who would change his mind. So, yeah. Yeah, we got to really think about this stuff. You know, don't be lying on God. Bible also tells us don't add or take away from the word of God. So listen, we can't be walking around here saying what God said and God really didn't say it. You know, come on. I don't know if you really want to play them games. All I know is, nah, that ain't something that I want to play. Yeah. Especially when God deals with you like that and you got to watch some unpleasant stuff happen. Oh, yeah, it goes down just like that. So, I don't know. Just be careful. Just be careful. Oh, wow, Wednesday rolled around and our girl Vivian gave us some socially conscious information. And she started off with the fact that COVID numbers in Florida and Texas and Missouri. Now, I don't remember Missouri being on this list before. But yeah, those are the three states that had some big increases. And they're not the only states that have some big increases. So listen, keep those masks on. I am so tired of hearing that the people who were vaccinated got COVID. Yeah, because one of the things, it doesn't promise that once you get vaccinated, you're not going to get, you know, COVID-19. No. Yeah. And that's what's kind of keeping me. Because I'm like, well, if I could run the risk of getting it anyway, I ain't putting nothing in my body. If I could get it anyway. Now, if you guarantee that I won't get it, that's something different. But nah, I think I'll pass. So I think what's happening is we've got a new strain, they say, a new variant. That's number one. And this vaccine is not ready for that strain, that variant. Number two, people are lying, talking about they don't have, they got a vaccine and they're walking around without a mask, infecting other people. Or three, everybody's just plain old getting careless. Yeah. Yeah. Could be any one of those, all three of those. I don't know. But all I know is the numbers are climbing. And that was a prediction of our girl Vivian when we first started the vaccine, that this wasn't going to turn this whole thing around. So I don't know. Well, the other thing she talked about was the Tyson chicken recall. Now, Tyson chicken got a whole lot of chicken out here. And here's the thing that I brought up the other day, and I couldn't understand. They're saying the recall comes from chicken dated from December of 20 until April of 21. So my question was, well, where they hauling all this chicken? This chicken is like over 6 months old. Are they freezing it? I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, this chicken, if you got some Tyson chicken in your refrigerator or your freezer, I'd simply throw it out. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a good thing for us to be holding on to that chicken. And one of the most disturbing pieces of news that Vivian gave the other day was 117,000 gang members to 1,300 Chicago police officers, 10-to-1 ratio. Now, we didn't all seen a cop show or two. We didn't all seen a prison show or two where they have ganged up on the lone cop or correction officer, and it ain't ever pretty. So God forbid something like that jumps off. Oh, they're in trouble. Yeah. And they say the cops have been walking off, you know, getting sick, you know, sure have lost, some have lost their lives to the COVID. Some have said, listen, I don't appreciate the way we've been unappreciated. So I'm getting my go on, and they are out of here. So, yeah, that one there was a real hard blow, and it took us into our conversation with the women of worship as to how this may have come into existence where we're so heavily outweighed in that particular area of gang membership. We also talked about Cardi B and the extremely expensive $250,000 watch for her 3-year-old and the other gift that was overly expensive that the dad gave the baby for her birthday. And how we're really not doing what we need to do when it comes to, you know, spending our money on our children. Now, today, yesterday was the 15th, and those tax credit checks and payments started hitting the waves of the deposits. So I'm real interested as to how these parents, especially these mamas, are taking care of these kids with that checky poop. Yeah, might be interesting. All right, so that's how we spent our Thursday, and we had a Wednesday, and we had our wonderful close to a wow Wednesday with our girl, Pastor Charlene Beard, with her Faith Over Fear segment, and it included a personal testimony. So you might want to go back and grab that one too. Okay? Well, yesterday we had our conversation about what? Let's see. Friend or frenemy. Yes, the stuff that frenemies do that indicate that they are not really your friend. Now, you know, for some of us, that's a bit heartbreaking. There were some things that did not come up that frenemies do. And but we had enough on that list to definitely indicate whether the person you're calling a friend at the moment is really a friend. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you have some other things you want to talk about. Maybe something didn't hit that list. Well, if not, I invite you to share that information with us. 347-285-7777. Again, that number is 347-285-7777. If you know another frenemy indicator that they're really not your friend, and they are really your enemy. Okay? So, today is Freestyle Friday. We get to do whatever we want to do, and what we want to do is hear from the men. Today's their day, and we've been waiting all week to get to Friday, hoping that God spares our life so we can get to the end of the work week. I know for one, I am happy again that it's Friday. Thank God it is Friday. Just put another large order behind us, and life can start to go back to normal. My body is killing me, but I'm pressing my way. And I'm giving God thanks that he has brought all of us safely through another week. When you think about all the activity that has gone on during the week, you're like, wow. When you think about all the news you hear of people, you know, not making it to the next day, and, you know, all the things that people do that are mean, yeah, that disallow you from making it to the week, yeah, through the week, rather. I'm here to give God thanks for you and me, that God has really kept us, and not just kept us, but kept us safely through another week, all right? So I want to make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on, and the men will have their say today. And make sure you get settled. Yeah, don't be doing all that moving around where you miss anything, because you don't want to miss anything. You don't want to miss anything. You want to make sure you get it all. Alrighty? So, we're about to take that break. Do what you got to do. We'll be right back.
Many people think they don't need to worry about hepatitis B. The truth is that hepatitis B is a serious liver disease caused by a virus. It can take years before symptoms develop, so many infected people don't even know they have it and don't know they could be spreading it, which means everyone should be concerned about it. The good news is prevention is easy, with vaccines that are safe and effective. Talk to your healthcare professional about hepatitis B vaccination.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you again. You're on with this Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it's Freestyle Friday over here, and we're so excited because we get to hear from our men today. Okay? But before we do that, we gotta have a little chat. Okay. Alright. Well, let's there are no pens today. No pens today. Just some facts going out. Just some facts. Well, remember we talked about the COVID numbers going up, and unfortunately LA has been hit so hard that they now have their mask mandate back in order. Yes, as of 11:59 p.m. on Saturday, they have to have their masks back on. Yep. And the powers that be say that the rates are going up too high, too fast. Yeah, we knew that was going to happen because L.A. is another one who, they all out there, okay? They are all out there. And he said that they actually shifted back in June, you know, to reopen everything. And they're thinking that maybe it was a little too soon. Well, you think not? Okay. And they're anticipating that things will get worse, despite the fact that more people, you know, each day are getting vaccinated. And he said that there's a heavy level of transmission to begin. Yeah. Heavy level of transmission. And they say that the most recent numbers that the county of LA has experienced, 100,000 people, 100,000 people, they're concerned because that's a high number. Yeah. Again, remember back in the day, they were also very high. And this is why I don't understand why, if you were already high at one point, why you didn't just cover yourself. Now they're going to have to go back to wearing their masks, and masks are going to be required in any indoor public establishment, which includes your shopping stores, your retail stores, your grocery stores, your restaurants, and your workplaces. Now, they're going to leave the dining open. The dining is going to be remained open. And they're thinking that one of the factors is that there's still under 4 million people in L.A. alone who have not been vaccinated. And they're saying as long as those numbers are like that, that it will continue to spread. Okay? So, you know, okay. The 100,000 comes from 7 days. In 7 days, 100,000 people between the ages of 18 and 29 contracted coronavirus. 1,537 new cases on Thursday alone. Okay? And, that's a reason to be concerned, I would say. I would say that's a reason to be concerned, and they definitely need to turn some things around. What do you think? Well, that's one of the things. Now, we're just hoping that New York doesn't become hot again, because we were at the top of the quickest spread, because we're so heavily congested here. And we had a very high number of deaths. And my suggestion is we need to just keep the masks on. We need to go back to, you know, protecting ourselves. You know, it was very disturbing. We had a notification for those of us who ride accessoride, that as of July 6th, they began shared rides again. And listen, when we were at our peak of the coronavirus, everywhere you went, you had to be 6 feet apart. Well, you know good and well you ain't 6 feet apart when you're sitting in the back of a car. So they canceled share rides for over a year. For over a year, they canceled share rides, justifiably so, in Ubers and, you know, Lyfts and accessorize and things like that. And my thing is, we're not out of the woods yet. What are you doing? So, I don't know. Mom may have to dip into some savings to travel from borough to borough, because I don't know if this is going to be the best way to travel. You know, yesterday she got a little, you know, she was blessed because she was able to travel solo. And, but yeah, you know, you're talking about somebody who's elderly, who has to travel to medical appointments. Yeah. But that's not going to be feasible to be sitting that close to somebody. Because I'm going to tell you, I really thought about it yesterday. I forgot I had a doctor's appointment. See, this is what happens when you get all saturated in your work. I completely forgot I had a doctor's appointment. And my mother asked me, and I was like, nah, I don't have it. And I did. And I normally schedule. Now, I'm close enough that they won't put somebody in the car with you. They'll only put it if you're going like a distance and somebody's kind of traveling in that same, you know, direction, and they'll drop them off, and You're not putting anybody in the front seat. So he's safe, but we in the back, we're not? Nah. So I don't know. I don't know how we're going to get this done. But that's something that's something we need to be concerned about, you know, now that, you know, they think that it's safe enough to resume that level of activity. Shared rides. I'm like, yo, I don't know. Like I said, you know, well, where there's a will, there's a way, and we may have to go another route because this is not going to work. You can't risk your safety because you want to go back to practices that we're not really prepared for. And it's showing. And it's showing. When you start doing all of this stuff and we're not ready, this is what happens. And this is what L.A. is experiencing now. And even they're saying that back on June 15th, when they reopened everything, it may have been a tad bit too soon. Well, it's too late now. Or in one day, you've got over 1,500 cases. Again, this is definitely like when we were back in 2020 and everything was at its peak. So, come on, people. Got to get this together here. Well, time for some news other than the COVID numbers. So, we have Dwayne Haskins, who was injured in a domestic violence incident by his wife. Yeah. So we got the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback who was injured when she hauled off and pow! Now, they don't say what they were arguing over, but, yeah, he was definitely the victim. It doesn't say that he did anything wrong. And I thought that was kind of interesting because generally it's the other way around as we know it. You know, the men are normally the perpetrators. And we know good and well these females are like off the hook at times. Yeah, off the hook at times. And she hauled off. And she punched him. Now, why am I talking about this today? Well, basically, you know, I remember we did the domestic violence back in 2019, and we addressed the men being victims. And we do know that men do not report domestic violence incidences as often as women do because they're embarrassed a lot of times to admit that, you know, this happened, and they don't want that information out there. They're concerned about the way they look. And I remember the gentleman who did the the interview with me, had the conversation with me. He talked about going to the church. And he was like, listen, you know, we need to, I don't want to go to this church anymore because the woman actually attended his church. And, you know, they were trying to talk him out of bringing up the fact that he had experienced the domestic violence. Yeah, they were trying to sweep it underneath the rug. And he was like, listen, well, you know what? I'm going to be honest. He said that, you know, both of us have become perpetrators. And, hey, we don't need to be in this church directing choirs and all kind of things because we are both shaming God. And do you know that they did not care They didn't care. Yes. They said, no, well, you know, you can continue to do what you do. He really had to just kind of walk off from the position that he held in the church because they would not go for it. What's the matter? What's the matter? Even when someone is trying their best to do what they need to do, you don't even want to acknowledge. What is with that? I don't know. Well, I think I'm going to take some time to talk to my men today. That's going to get our conversation started. What do you think? Okay, let me grab my men here. Because I think somebody needs to be telling me something. Let's talk to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop of the morning. Chop, singing the chop of the morning. Can't be too loud. You know, the behavior challenge got my voice.
All righty. Well, just don't walk off the job. Yeah. We're talking about this morning. We're going to talk about a couple of things, but one of the things that came up this morning is the quarterback who had this domestic violence incident, and he's actually the victim. And, you know, men don't generally like to reveal that they're the victim of domestic violence. And why is that, Brother Al?
Being embarrassed, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this topic. I was, you know, everybody who know me know I do acting. I've been done tons of shows. And I actually was in a play about domestic violence, and it was a part of this guy's life. And the crazy thing about it, this guy was about, I would say he was about 6'6", 6'7". And his wife was like 5'10". And she used to really beat on him. And he didn't want to strike back because he know, if I hit this woman, I'm going to hurt her. So he went to the precinct and told them, and, you know, they sat there and laughed at him. They laughed at him. Because like, they looking like, wow, this big 6'7 guy and this 5'10 woman. But, yeah, but if he hit on her, then y'all ready to throw him out of the job. So they laughed at him. And he was like, he felt so embarrassed because, like I said, the play was kind of based on his life. And I was just sitting there like, wow. And he's like, so, I just kind of dealt with it and, you know, did certain things. But, you know, so that's the problem. You know, when it's reversed, they look at us men like, you big, strong man. You letting this little woman hit on you? It's still domestic violence. She's a violent person. So I believe that's why they don't go, because you get laughed at. It gets shoved off. You know, it's like, okay, you're a man. You should be able to handle it.
Wow, okay. And, you know, that's what the gentleman brought up. That was one of the instances that the gentleman brought up who had the conversation with me that, you know, it's something that, you know, men are ashamed about. Let's go to our Minister AJ before we continue this conversation. Thank you, Brother Al. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning, yiggity yang.
How are you today? Good?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And how are you?
That's good. I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. I'm happy that today is Friday. And we can get a couple of extra minutes. So, that makes me feel real good, Minister AJ. So, we're talking about this domestic violence issue against men. And the fact that men don't generally tell the story. And Brother Al says, well, one of the main reasons is because of shaming.
Yeah. Absolutely. Embarrassment, you know. I remember being a victim in elementary school. It was a twin, hit me in the mouth real hard and ran, you know, and everybody laughed. You know what I mean? And it was embarrassing because I wanted to clock her so bad. But, you know what I mean? I couldn't, and I would have been in trouble. So A lot of times it's the embarrassment, you know. You know, you want to, well, me, you know, I haven't dealt with it in the, you know, adult arena, but I can only imagine getting beat up or getting beat on. See, me, I wouldn't deal with it. I'm out of there. You know, you got one time to swing on me like that. You know? And a lot of times when you know your temper, you know you need to know. But I don't know how men do it, but God bless you.
Yeah, because some of these women, they just out of control, and they are just as vicious as men can be. And like Brother Al said, you know, even some of the authority figures will laugh and shame the men. And, hey, that's not something that you want to experience. I've seen that in movies. I've seen it on TV shows. You know, they show up to the house and, you know, the man is complaining, and they're like, okay, really, brother, or really, sir, you know, she doesn't pose much of a threat. And she's in the background throwing stuff and doing all kind of things. Let's talk about this issue of the church's position. You know, the gentleman said he went to the, I guess the leadership or the what do you call those people, the board. And, you know, he said, listen, he was a choir director. He says, listen, you know, I'm coming to you because this is what we're doing. You know, it started off with her. I brought this issue to you. You ignored it. Now it's us. I'm being honest. I ain't going to take but so much. And, you know, he hit back, struck back, and now I need to resign from my position. And they were like, nah, you know, this can be worked out. You know, just hold on, continue to be the choir director. Some other thing he did in the church. What do you think about that, Brother Al?
That's just straight selfish. You know, you got this couple going through something, you know, going through some really rough time, and now it's physical. And you're going to say, nah, don't leave the position, this and that. And then when somebody die or get really hurt, how you going to feel? I know he actually need to leave that church because obviously they selfish. I guess he's a good choir director, and they're like, we don't want to lose you. But you know what? The whole thing is about saving people's souls, and you're not saving this man physical or his soul.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Brother Al, absolutely. Minister A.J., what's going on where nobody wants to address that there's this issue going on right in, you know, in the heart of your congregation?
We care more about the gift now than the God of the gift. If we cared about the God of the gift, we would be more loving. We would display more kindness. But we care more about the gift. As long as the gift is operating, we're good. And that's what it is. You know, we only see how we can gain from it. You know, you keep on directing, brother. That choir is singing. People are coming. You know what I mean? And they love the music. But we don't care about the God, you know, or we don't really care about the vessels. You know, we just admit it. Just stay, keep doing what you're doing. We're not looking at how they're hurting. We're not looking at how they're going down. You know, just keep on ministering. And it's a bad situation. You know, it's something that we need to look at. And sometimes you have to take the chance. You know, get to the young lady. Sit her down. You know what I mean? Have a meeting with her. You've got to get down to the bottom of it. But we cannot overlook stuff like that. You know, but we think we're going to lose in the church. And in what happens is we end up losing because you don't address the situation. So then we end up losing both parties.
You're absolutely right, both of you. There's a question that I want to ask, but before we do, let's go grab Pastor KL so he can join the conversation. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, my brothers. How y'all doing today?
Doing
fine.
Well. I'm doing
good
well.
Good morning.
Man.
Good morning, brother.
How
good
are
to
you?
Hear you?
How are you?
Man, I tell you the truth. I woke up this morning and I began to be like David. I had to encourage myself. I know that I'm safe in his arms and everything is going to be okay.
All righty. Are you up for the conversation or you just want to be a spectator today?
No, I'm here to talk. I'm here to talk.
Okay. Well, glad to have you. Glad to have you and glad to know that God is a keeper and a sustainer and a raiser and lifter of our head. So, we're starting this morning's conversation with the story of Dwayne Haskins and his domestic violence issue and the fact that men also suffer at being domestic violence victims, but they don't talk about it. And the first question was, why don't they? Why do you believe they don't speak up?
Well, I think, you know, it puts a shame on themselves. You know, I think their pride won't allow them, you know, to speak up as a woman is, you know, beating them or women is, you know, and there's a lot of domestic violence, verbal abuse, and, you know, men, you know, they want to raw, so they don't want nobody to know that they're being a victim of anything.
Okay, so you agree with your brothers here because that's the same thing they said. And I brought up a couple of years ago, we did a domestic violence series, and I had a gentleman on who said that he was a victim of domestic violence, and he went to the church when he was just a victim, and they kind of brushed it off, and then he went later as the victim and the perpetrator because he wasn't going to take it anymore. And he said, you know what, I don't remember what position she held, but he said, you know, we both need to step down because, you know, this is not right. We can't minister properly if we know all of this stuff is going on in the home, in the relationship. And they were like, no. You know, we could still use you as a choir director and, you know, you're here and, you know, you might as well continue and we'll just work on it. And I was asking the gentleman here this morning, you know, what do you think about that? You know, the leadership or the board, you know, they don't want to hear nothing about you stepping down for that particular purpose. What's that about?
Well, a lot of times they don't want to hear you stepping down at all because you're the person who's bringing people in there. You're the person who's the hype man, so to speak. You know, and a lot of times, you know, I've even learned in my days, you know, because, you know, I was a praise and worship leader, that sometimes, you know, the leaders will pimp your anointing. You know, they know the anointing that you carry, and if you step down, you know, they realize their preaching wasn't as good as they thought it was. You know, sometimes, you know, the people, you know, they set the atmosphere for the preacher just to be able to walk through it. You know, so the preacher ain't do nothing, but the atmosphere is already set. So, you know, sometimes they know that, listen, if I lose you, if I lose this musician, listen, I know you got some issues, but if I lose you, then I'm going to lose my people.
Yeah, the gentleman said the same thing. And my question is, this is where I was up to when I saw you come on. My question is it really ministry then? Is it really ministry? When you got all this stuff going on in your background, are you really up in front of God's people ministering to people?
What
would you say?
That's a touchy situation because remember, you know, God can use anybody. And sometimes God won't uncover your mess for the sake of the people. You know what I'm saying? So he might keep you so that he doesn't lose the people. Because, again, remember that we are the first Christ-like people. You know, sometimes we're the only God that some folks will ever see. So, you know, sometimes God will allow you to play the part, know you going to hell, you know, unless you get yourself together for the sake of the people.
All righty. Brother Al, what do you say?
Man, I kind of agree with Pastor KL that, you know, you can, you know, he going through his stuff and could be ministering to himself as well, you know. But it's sad that they, you know, how the church is using them, you know, like, yeah, put this makeup on and cover that black eye and do what you do. You know, it's sad, but, you know, he could be ministering to himself as well.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Minister AJ, what's your thought on this?
Well, who am I to disagree, like Pastor KL said? definitely, yeah, sometimes they'll allow you to work through it while God is working on you. But however, also, I believe we've made the church, we started running it like it's a business, you know, and that's how businesses run. So, hey, you know, we need a certain amount of people in the building. We need the waiters to be on the floor. We need the kitchen crew to be where they need to be because, you know what? At the end of the day, it's going to affect our numbers. And I think that's another reason why, you know, we started handling the church the way we handle it because we run it as a business, you know? And I'm a firm believer, yes, while God will use anybody, but God will also replace anybody. You know, if you've got a position, and this is why we let anybody lead out. I think I was having this conversation maybe last night, and they were saying how a certain worship leader is leading out for a certain preacher, and we know this worship leader, yes, has a gift, but he's not right. You know, and that's what happens. You know?
Okay.
We're gonna put the best worker out, not the best minister, but the best worker. You know, when God can take somebody, you know, that got a little bit of voice, but that's anointed. In a matter of time, God will anoint you and raise them up.
And, you know, that's a good point.
Okay.
Not to cut you off, that's a good point. Because, you know, the Bible says that gifts come without repentance. You know, there's a lot of folks who have gifts. And there's a lot of folks who can entertain the church. You know, there's a lot of folks who hyping up the church. But the Bible also talks about the anointing is what destroys the yoke. You know, when I'm going through, I don't need no one to entertain me. You know, when I'm feeling bad in my body, I don't need anyone, you know, to make me jump up and down. You know, I need deliverance, and I need somebody with the anointing, you know, to help me become delivered, help me become healed. I don't need to be entertained. We've come to a point in our life where we go to church sometimes just to be entertained. And then we go back the same tired devil we came in.
Yeah. Okie dokie now. All right, so here. We don't know who's listening. We don't know who's entertaining the folk in church. And that was where my thought was. My thought was, I don't believe it's ministry. At that point, I believe you're going through the motion. I believe that you are now entertaining the group. I don't believe, at this moment at least, that it's ministry when you've got all this wickedness going on in your background. Right now, unless God deal with me a little differently, I'm not feeling that. So for those who are entertaining the people who come to the church, what would you say, Pastor Kate? You know what? No, I'm going to start with Brother Al. You know, what would you say to someone who might be listening, who might be going through that? You know, they got some wickedness going on in their life, and you want to help direct them. And they're not strong enough to go, like this gentleman, to go, you know, to the powers that be in the church and say, listen, I'm going to sit myself down, and here's why. How would you encourage them, Brother Al?
Excuse me. Well, being that they're in the church, they know God. So I would say pray. You have to pray heavy. You have to pray hard and listen. Fast, pray, and listen. No, that's what I would say. Fast, pray, and listen. And ask God to guide you on what you need to do. If you feel like you can't go to anybody and talk about it, then you have to go to God. You have to go. So I would say fast, pray, and listen.
Okay. Pastor KL, what would be your word to that individual who's listening, who is just not living the life that they should be living, and they're the church choir director?
Well, first thing, I'm going to have to disagree with my brother, because just because you go to church don't mean you know God. You know, just because you go to church every Sunday, you go to Bible study every Wednesday and Thursday, don't mean you have a relationship with God. Don't mean that you know him. You heard about him. You heard stories about him. You read about him. But doesn't mean that you know him. And then certain folks, you know, these entertainers, they want, first of all, entertainers sometimes, you know, they have a situation where they want everybody to love them. You know what I'm saying? They want everybody to come up and compliment them, and they want to be the star. But my Bible says, what profits a man to gain the whole wide world, to gain all the love from all these people, to gain all these compliments, but then at the end of this thing, lose your soul? You know, my thought would be to the gentleman is, listen, you need to be delivered. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to have a relationship. Because, listen, there is no way you can have a true relationship with the Father and want to be an entertainer. No, you don't want to be an entertainer. You know, you want the anointing to begin to destroy some things in people's life. Not break, because anything broken can be put back together. But you want some things to be able to be destroyed so that people can be healed from molestation. They can be delivered, you know, from abuse. They can be set free. You know, entertaining folks is not setting free. When you go to a concert and you entertain these folks and you listen to all these rappers and you listen to all these singers, when you go home with the same problem. You just got dusted off for 2 hours. You just didn't have to think about it for an hour and a half. But when you go home and reality hits, you have not been delivered from the things that you've been facing every day.
All right. Minister AJ.
Okay, come on through, actor. Come on through, actor. I hear you, Pastor Kale. Come on through. what we have to understand, it's going to be a moment either way. I'm going to piggyback off Pastor Kale. You know, when you are an actor, you have to get your mindset for those moments, your key moments that you're on stage. You know, those are moments. And that's the problem. We have to realize that even the hell that's in our life, it's for a moment. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So even the wickedness and the heaviness, we've got to learn how to get our mind right, get our minds transformed against the wickedness. Because even though, you know, it might be going on, you have to understand, and like he said, you got to get to know God. When you know God, there's some stuff you'll step away from. Because why? The Bible clearly says, those who God love, he will preserve. But the wicked people, he will destroy. And so that's what it is. You got to get to know the word. And I think I just had this conversation last night. I said, you're powerful. You know, you can pray. But where you lack is you don't know the word. And when you don't know the word, which is God and the will of God, what you going to do? You can't do nothing. You know, again, gaining the whole world, and then you're losing your soul. What I would minister to, you're not worried about your soul. You know what I mean? Because at this point, God can raise up somebody else, you know. So why fill a position with a bunch of nonsense? Are we really here for God?
All right. I have to agree. I also believe that, you know, hey, just because you're in the church does not mean you know God. And for a person who is really troubled like that, sit down. You sit down. If the Lord is dealing with you, if the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you, I don't need permission to sit down. The Spirit of the Lord is going to sit me down. And yes, like Minister AJ said, another individual can be raised. If he wasn't feeling comfortable with ministering at that point, because he knew he was not ministering, you cannot minister with all that junk in your trunk. He had the right frame of mind to do what he was supposed to do, and you cannot allow other people to dictate what you do based on a coin in the collection played or how great the music is coming from the, you know, from the pulpit and all of that. No, if God is dealing with you already to go sit down so that you can develop a better relationship with him, a deeper relationship with him, you can't wait for nobody else. Can't wait for nobody else to sanction that. That's like going to your wife or to your brother or your sister. No, because you could tell that these people have their own motives. So, nah, go sit down, let somebody else who is anointed do the job, and let the church be truly blessed. Because they ain't being blessed with a bunch of fake stuff, no entertainment. So go sit down somewhere. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, we got our conversation up and running. Well, I got another situation. I guess we're going to play a little bit of, what do you call that thing, ripped from the headlines today. So there's a teen young lady who has been asked by her sister to babysit her children on the day her husband, the children's father, is off work. So she goes and she babysits the children. And during the babysitting episode, they have a need for something. And she was busy bathing one of them or something like that. So she said, go ask your father. While I'm doing this, just go ask him to give you some snack. And when they got to when they got to him, he told them, go back to her because I'm off today and I'm not doing any work. I'm not babysitting today. So that didn't go well. And they got to arguing, and the young lady got to telling him how he's ridiculous, and, you know, she told him off. She told him off. And now nobody's speaking to her, not the sister, not the brother-in-law, not the mama between her and the sister, because they said that she was disrespectful, she should have done what she was asked to do, and he won't let her back in the house until she apologizes for being rude. Who's crazy, Brother Al?
All of them crazy. But I don't think, I mean, she was in the middle of doing something, so I don't understand why he would get mad. It wasn't like she was just sitting there not doing nothing. She was in the middle of doing something, so she said, okay, go ask your father. So I don't see what was wrong with that. And then, you know, he said, go back to your mother. I'm not doing nothing. And she got at him. I probably would have did the same thing. Like, hey, listen, you see me taking care of this child. You can't get little Johnny's apple while I'm doing this. So they all crazy to me.
Okay. Okay, who's in the wrong here, Minister AJ?
They all wrong, you know. They are all wrong. I didn't know we get lunch breaks and vacation from our kids while we home. You know, it's different if you set up a babysitter and then you went somewhere. But now we get lunch breaks and vacation. Now we're taking the Bill Cosby vacation. We still in the living room, but we on vacation. Nah, that's not how that goes. That's not how that goes.
Well, check this part out before I ask you, Pastor KL. He works part-time from home 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah, see? That's the problem right there, you know? Like I used to always say about my daughter, she wouldn't get a job if it was from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. with an hour lunch break. There's some people who just won't work. You know, they just not going to work. And that's what it is. You home, you know what I'm saying? So by this point, you should have the home structured. You should have everything on lock.
You should know how to, you know, interact with the kids, get your work done. You should have it down packed by now. But you need a vacation, even though you work part-time. Okay.
He works part-time from home. Pastor KL, who's the crazy one here?
Those folks who don't want to speak to her is definitely crazy. But, you know, like you know, Minister AJ said, I don't know when it is that you're on break from your children. You know, she didn't ask, you know, to go ask uncle or go ask, you know, cousin. She said, go ask daddy. You know, when you have that title as daddy, you have a responsibility 24 hours a day. You know, if I'm at my job right now and one of my children needs something in their grown age, I'm going to find a way to get it to them. You know, I can't say, you know, I'm at work, so, you know, you have to stop. Or, you know, there's just a certain amount of responsibility that you have as a parent. You know, I don't know when you're off. Because, you know, when I was raising my children, if they got a fever, if they needed a pamper change, yeah, I had to get up. You know, because that's part of my responsibility. You know, you chose to be a dad. You know, when you guys laid down and did whatever you did and they said you are the father, then you had a bigger title than you could have ever imagined. You know, this thing about the woman has to do everything, that's ridiculous. And this is why men get the rap that we get, because we want to sit in the house and roar, but we ain't saying nothing.
Okay. Well, I have a question. Do you babysit your children? This has just been a topic of conversation for quite some time. For women, no, you don't babysit your kids. They're yours. But when it comes to men, there seems to be some misconception that you a babysitting. It's something you said, Brother Al, and I was trying to hold on till everybody went, and I can't remember what you said, but maybe somehow you'll repeat it and I can ask you or comment. But do you babysit your kids, Brother Al?
Well, they grown now, but no, you don't babysit. You know, being a parent is a 24/7 job. You know, there's no babysitting. There's no vacation. This is a 24-hour job. So no, you don't babysit your kids.
All right. Well, this was the sister-in-law. This was the teenage sister-in-law who had been called into the home to watch the children. Do you babysit your kids, Minister AJ, ever when they're young?
No, you watch over your kids. You don't babysit them. Babysitting is a part-time thing, you know. And usually babysitting is set up so that somebody else can watch your kids. You know what I mean? In the times that you can't physically watch your kids. But you watch over your kids. You give your kids guidance. You don't babysit your kids. Babysitting is temporary. Parenting is, you know, forever.
Okay. And I know you went into an elaborate word, Pastor KL, but just in case there's a man out there who thinks that he babysits his children, what do you say directly?
I said, you're crazy. We don't babysit our children. Again, you know, as Minister AJ said, we watch our children. You know, we safeguard our children. We don't babysit. There's no time. See, but the problem is that, you know, when you're not in the same home together, you know, they have the misconception that, yeah, we're babysitting the child today because I don't do it every day. You know, to me, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to watch your children. There are some mothers who won't even let the father see their child. And here you are giving it the title that I'm babysitting today. No, this is your seed. You know, this is a time when you can infuse into this child, when you can speak life into this child. This is all that time that you can bond a relationship. You're not babysitting. This is the time when you're supposed to be doing your work, your due diligence with the child. We don't babysit our children. We don't even babysit our grandchildren, to be honest with us, because we're grandparents, and that's what we do.
We watch them.
All righty. Well, I want to read this to you. Okay. So it says, when the young lady told the children to go and ask for the snack from their father, and he sent them back, and he said, don't let the kids interrupt him on his day off. He yelled that to her. Don't send them to me for anything, because I don't want them interrupting me on my day off. And she responded and told him, well, this was my day off too, and that he was useless, blankety blank father and a husband, and if his wife has to rely on her to watch the kids, he's especially useless. So my question becomes, what do you think of the mother who knows that the children are in the house with the father but would call her sister over instead of just leaving the children at home? Minister AJ.
She's enabling.
Is she partly
him
to blame?
In the nonsense. Oh yeah, you're
I'm
enabling
sorry.
Him in the nonsense. You are, you know, you are a part of it, because you know what, you know, this is the time where you need to leave the kids with the father. My question is, when do they have time to bond with the father? If you know what I mean. Now it's his day off, and he already works part time from the home, which means, and it sounds like to me like he's part time across the board with these kids. He probably waved some high and by, because I'm pretty sure after he closed his laptop at 5 o'clock, he probably sports or doing something else. It seems like, you know, he's definitely, you know, a part of this, because listen, you know, you're off. What's the problem with you watching the kids? You know, why we got to call somebody from across town, and then now we in a split spat? It's talking about it's your day off. The behavior is just totally crazy. Period.
Okay. Pastor KL, is mom a part of the problem?
Definitely. I mean, at some point, you know, you enable it and you're encouraged. You know, first of all, you invite the sister over knowing that the daddy will be home. So you've already said that, listen, he can't handle the situation. And you've never put the pressure on him to handle the situation. You know, so from hearing this side of the story, you know, I'm kind of even shocked that now you're upset. Why are you upset? You knew who he was. You know, you invited somebody else over for backup because you knew he couldn't do the job. And now that he's not doing the job that you knew he could not do, you want to call him all kinds of names. Yeah.
No, not no. Okay, now wait. Okay, let me make sure you got the story together. The teenage sister-in-law is the one who was called to the house on her day off,
mm-hmm,
to watch the children while the father was there. When the father, mm-hmm, got angry, he told the sister-in-law, the teenager, don't let them come in there and bother me and interrupt me on my day off. Now, the sister, the wife, and the mother of the,
mm-hmm,
children, she's mad,
mm-hmm,
at her sister because she's saying that the sister disrespected her husband.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got that all wrong. Yeah. The mother crazy. Then, if you have that high regard for your husband, I mean, what you should, then you shouldn't need no help. Because your husband should be able to do what the sister-in-law was doing or what should have been doing. You don't need no help. Yeah, that would have been the last time I'm watching or babysitting or visiting the children.
Oh, goodness. All righty. What do you say, Brother Al?
Well, I'm glad you cleared it up, because I was thinking a different way too, like Pastor KL. But yeah, it's the mother. It's definitely the mother.
she's enabling him. And obviously she brought the her sister over to watch the kids because she know that the father's not going to take care of them properly. So that's why she brought the sister over. And she had to be nuts to get at her sister. Now, this man worked part-time and worked from home. Okay, and you don't want to spend no time with your children. You don't want to help with your children. So you know, like I said, the mother is enabling him. Like, oh, don't worry, I'll bring somebody over to watch the kids while you relax. There is no relaxing when you have children. That's been out the window when they was born. So, yeah, the mother is, she's the blame.
All right, so I'm going to pad this thing. Here's my question. Well, first of all, I have a listener that says, and the children are hearing all of this, which is very true, because clearly he does not care. You know, he's not whispering that. Anytime he sent the kids back to the aunt, he don't care about what they hear. So it goes back to my question of abuse. Is there a level of abuse going on? Because maybe you're afraid because of his attitude or temper. Maybe you're afraid to leave the children home with him. And maybe getting the sister to watch the children is a safety measure. I'm going to start with you, Brother Al.
Most definitely. That you know, if she's afraid and stuff like that, that's a mental abuse. And not only is that abuse, it's also neglect on the father part. It's neglect. So that's definitely abuse.
Okay. Minister AJ, what say you?
This is just bad, period. Now, maybe we just need to get somebody to babysit the father, you know? Yeah. If we're going to look at it from that view, then that's what it is, you know? And what it is normally if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of nobody else.
Okay. Pastor KL, what's your thought?
Well, I mean, there's certain words that trigger it for me. When you say, you know, children, you know, my thing is, he didn't just get like this. He was like this from the first child.
Mm.
And you decided to have another child with this same crazy man. So, I mean, you like abuse. Misery like company. You know, I mean, who decides to keep on going through this stuff, you know, perpetuating the same thing over and over and over again? Yeah, you might be abused, and I feel for your abuse, but who put themselves in that position yet again? You know, I know the Bible says do your first works over, but this ain't what he was talking about. You know, so, yeah, we need to figure that out.
Okay, so does the apple fall far from the tree when the mother of the two women says to the young lady, the teenager, that she needs to apologize? Brother Al?
But that's hard to say. You know, she may be telling her or getting at her to apologize because, okay, now you done went off on him. So when I get home, now I'm going to get it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at it that way. If he's abusing her like that mentally and got her mind all screwed up, it's like, oh man, why did you tell him off? Now I gotta face this when I get home. You know, and it might
no,
the abuse
no,
might
no,
go
no.
To another
I'm sorry,
level.
I'm not being clear. The two sisters,
okay,
have a mother, and
the mother
is saying you were disrespectful, and now she's mad. So I'm asking, well, does the apple fall from the tree? Follow me?
Okay, I got you now. Yeah, I got you now. Hey, the apple ain't fall too far. It's right there. Fell at her feet. For the mother to sit there and you're mad, what are you mad for? You know, you should be mad at your son-in-law who won't spend time with his kids. So, yeah, the apple ain't fall too far.
All righty. Minister AJ, what about mama sitting on the sideline? So when you go home, you didn't left the house where everybody mad at you. You didn't have an argument with the brother-in-law. You came, your sister came home, and now she didn't heard about it. And now she mad at you, and you go home, and mama is mad at you. What's wrong with these people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't have God. You know, they need a little, they need some, a little bit more Jesus, just a little bit, you know. Yeah, because something is wrong. You know, it's a breakdown, and you could tell that it started at the top from the beginning. You know, if she mad at you, then my question is, what was she teaching you growing up? That's why I'm going with it. So, because had you had some real teacher moments, you would have been able to minister to her in a situation like that, not be mad at her, you know. Because first of all, she shouldn't have been over there anyway. It's his day off, so let's get down to point. Let's get back to point A. You know, what's she doing over there? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You're giving this man too much time, too much idle time. Here we go. Too much idle time, you know, for him to act crazy, and then now it's crazy from the top. But, yeah. Because the mother should have been like, well, what you doing over there? If it's day off, and it's, that's what I'm saying. It's a breakdown from the top. So definitely the apple don't fall far from the tree.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL.
Well, all I can think of is that old slogan with the child says, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Obviously, there is no God in nobody's life. You know, these folks are being mad at each other. But to me, for no reason at all. Everybody's in everybody else's business. You know, it seems to me that they need to get a life their own self. And yes, the apple ain't falling too far. The apple's still on the tree. It ain't even fall yet. It's still growing on the tree. So, yeah, I think that's the issue. The mother was out of order.
Okay, okay. Ah, what word would you have? What word would you give to a man who was in this position, who was living this life, who this is the way he felt? He, you know, he's babysitting his children, or, you know, listen, I need a break from my part-time job at home. What would you say to him, Brother Al, if he was listening?
I would tell him that he need to get Minister AJ number and go sit down for some counseling and listen and hear what you're doing wrong. You know, that there is no babysitting your children. Children are here for life until the good Lord called them home. So I would definitely say you need to seek some counseling and talk about this. You know, you really need to talk about this. You need to get God in your life. God will guide you on what you need to do. He'll open your eyes and show you the light. So that's what I would tell him.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, what would be your advice to this gentleman? What would you say to him?
My advice is that a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. You know, if you think this way one time and think this way another time, you unstable. If you think that you're watching your kids, you know, and you don't want to be bothered by your kids because today is your day off, you unstable. You know, and you need to realize who you are in their life. You know, you're not Uncle Johnny that comes by and throws the football and then gets to leave home. You don't get to leave the set. You know, the curtains never close. The show must go on at all times. You don't get, you know, to relax sometimes. Listen, I'll tell you, I have my grandchildren over sometimes, and I get off of work, and I'm dog tired. And when I walk through the door, all they want to do is pop, pop, it's time to play. And guess what? I can't say I just got off of work because this is what they require from me. These are the things your children require from you when they light up to see you come through the door, but yet you don't have no time. Think about what you're doing to their spirit. You know, think about what they're growing up thinking about. Oh, my father don't have time for me. My father don't love me. My father don't want to take me nowhere. You know, these are the things that children carry years down the line when you think that they've grown and they've gotten over it, or they should have gotten over it. They still carrying this stuff. So be careful what you impart into their children, because it will come out later on.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, he's listening. He didn't took a break from doing whatever he was doing, and you just happen to catch him now. What are you saying to him?
Yes, sir. I need to know how many people took a break from you when you were young. You know, what happened in your childhood? And whatever it was, guess what? God has a way that, you know, he can allow all things to work together for your good. But we need to turn this thing around. And, you know, any man that does not take care of his kids is worse than an infidel. You know, and, you know, you just don't want to be on that side of the fence with God. You know, so this thing can be turned around. It can be fixed. You know, let's talk about what happened so we can fix the situation and move forward. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Okay, amen, amen, amen. All right, I got one more. We got time for at least one more. All right. So, there's a couple who went away for the weekend, and she wasn't feeling too well, and it ended up being appendicitis. And they had to go to a local hospital, and it was about 3 or 4 hours away from their house. Well, she, you know, ended up with some kind of complication, and she had to stay overnight. So her partner returned to work and came back to pick her up, and the timing was kind of off kilter because there was an important football game on, and this is soccer. This is soccer, okay, which they call football, soccer game, and he wanted to watch it. So she said, all right, you know what, let's book a hotel room. But he wanted to see it with his friends. So he... it was time to discharge her, and he got more irritable because it was taking so long and it was eating into his time to get back to this game. So she said he texted her. He texted her, and he said, hey, I have to leave or I'll miss the game. So through the text, she asked him, please don't go. You know, remember, we could always book this hotel. But he left anyway. And he said he would come back the next day to pick her up. Well, we all know hospitals ain't no babysitting daycare place or whatever. So she had to go because they were in the process of discharging her. So they wouldn't let her stay another night. And they didn't want her to be alone, so she ended up calling a friend to come get her. She spent the whole night texting him, and when he got home, he was mad at her because he said she was selfish for consistently just ringing and texting him during the game, and that it was embarrassing and humiliating for him to be experiencing that in front of his friends. So the friend said, get rid of him. Brother Al, what's the deal?
In the model words of Pastor Steph, wow, 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 wow. I don't even know what to say. Like, he's insane. Your wife is in the hospital. She needs you. So you mean to tell me a football game and being with your friends is more important than the safety and the health of your wife? You know, I mean, she needs to really rethink their relationship. And then that shows how much he's up with the time. If that game was so important to you, you could have pulled it up on your phone. But for you to just leave your wife hanging like that, that's insane. She really should think about, you know, packing her bags.
All righty. Pastor KL, I heard you in the background laughing.
Well, I was laughing because, you know, right now, for those of y'all who don't know, the playoffs is on, you know, the basketball game. And I'm a basketball guy, you know, and the playoffs is kind of important. You know, I don't even want my wife in the living room with me when I'm watching the playoffs. Not that I want to be with the fellas, but I understand how important certain sports are. However, would I leave my wife? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't leave my wife. Her timing is a little off. You know, I'd probably be mad at her timing. But no, I definitely wouldn't leave her. I think that was rude. And, yeah, I would consider it, if I was the woman, of leaving him.
All righty. Minister AJ.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he left her like that, you know, and whatever. You know, now we got to deal with the situation tomorrow. Maybe we just need to come back and do this marriage again in the next lifetime, you know. Let's just save it, because there ain't no possible way you leaving me in no hospital, you know, and I'm in pain or hurting or sick. Nah, the devil's a liar. Been there, done that, ain't going back. We can try this marriage next lifetime. You hang with your fellas and the guy who babysits his kids.
Brother Al, let's address this issue of her ringing and texting you and you ignoring her on the other end of the phone.
Man, that's just no respect for her. You know, you don't care how she got home. You don't care if she's safe. You don't even know if she's calling you that it's emergency. Hey, listen, they got to keep me in the hospital. They got to do another surgery. You just didn't care about nothing but that football game, you know. And like Pastor Kerr, I love sports too. I played basketball all my life. I coached basketball. But if my wife needs me, all that's going out the window. I'm going to take care of what I got to do. The game won't be over. Or if it is, okay, you know what? That's why they got replay. You'll see a replay of the game. But he just got no respect for her. He did not care. Okay, she calling me. She getting on my nerves. What about if she was calling you to say, listen, they got to do another surgery. They found something else. You know, that's just insane.
Minister AJ, ringing and calling, and now I'm embarrassed by the fact that you keep ringing and texting my phone this whole time.
Yeah, well, I don't want to embarrass you no more. So, listen, go ahead and do what you got to do. Be with your friends. That's just crazy. You know, you leave your wife for your friend, you know, and then all of a sudden it's embarrassing that you're calling. Your wife shouldn't have to call you because technically you should have been there with your wife. So the whole situation to me is just twisted. Like, why get married if this is what we're going to do? You know, it's supposed to be to death do us part. While I'm going through a situation that could have maybe even caused my death, or just the valley experience alone. Now I got to do it alone? What's the point of even being together? You know, you that embarrassing, stay over there. You know what I mean?
Okay. Pastor KL, this is not a wife. She consistently says partner. Does that make the difference in, you know, you letting her ring and text the phone and you ignoring her?
No, it doesn't make a difference. And then, you know, I think I need to look at something else. You know, why is he embarrassed? Is he embarrassed because he lied to his friends and told his friends, oh, she okay, I brought her home? You know what I mean? And now the friends can't understand why she's calling so many times if she's okay and she's at home resting. You know, so you got to look at on what's on the other side. What made him become embarrassed? You know, saying and then you have no regards for her. You know, like they said, what if something there was a complication and something else went wrong? You wouldn't know what happened. You know, I mean, God forbid, you know, she died. Then how would you feel? But for me, I think that the most afraid I would be like a child trying to sneak in the house at midnight when my curfew is at 10 o'clock. Because if I know that she's been calling me all this time and texting me all this time, I'd be afraid to go home. Because I know there's going to be something on the other side of that door. So, I, you know, I think he, it's time for him to go. Time for him to go. It's a good thing they ain't married.
Okay. Well, he's listening, gentlemen. He's listening right now. The football, the soccer game is not on. There are no friends. And now he can hear what you have to say. What are you going to say to him, Brother Al?
I'm going to say to you, brother, that was dead wrong. You should rethink about being with this young lady, because if you could treat her like that, you know, how would you like it if she did that to you? You know, to me, you showing me you don't care about this woman. It's whatever, you know, and you need to rethink being with this woman, to, you know, because that's not right to put somebody through that. That's not right at all, right at all. And if you still with her, you need to apologize. If she still want to be with you, you really need to apologize and do things differently.
Okay. Pastor KL, what would you say to him right now? You got his ear.
Why would you compromise a two-hour show for a woman for a lifetime? So you're willing to give up all of it, you know, this woman who's been by your side, who's probably taken care of you, who's cooked for you, who's encouraged you, for men who are playing a sport that you don't even know. You're not even there. You'll never see them. You'll never have a conversation with them. They'll never encourage you, you know. Why would you trade that? I just wouldn't trade that. If I have a good woman by my side, you know, that two-hour show is not really not worth it. Those fellas, because, see, listen, after the game is over, the fellas are going home to who they're going home to. And they don't have to deal with no arguments because their ladies probably already know where they are. Their ladies don't have no situations, no medical issues. But now you have to go home and deal with this all because of some guys and all because of some more guys on a TV show that, first of all, they don't, the TV show don't even care about you. They just playing their game. They don't care that you watch the show. They don't care that you cheer them on. They don't care. In fact, they can't even hear you. So here you are cheering on someone instead of taking care of somebody and cheering on the person that you're supposed to love.
All right. Minister AJ, what are you going to say to him? He's right here. The couch, he's on the couch. Council is session 1123.
Exactly. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of God. Why would you choose this? Why would you choose your friend over your favor and God? They both can do something that none of these people can do. And like Pastor Taylor said, and you're choosing these people who are in this ring that will never, ever have the opportunity to come back and take care of you. So don't choose your friends over the favor and God, the two people who can do stuff in your life that none of these people can do. Don't mess that up, bro. You bugging out. You tripping out.
All righty. Gentlemen, oh, it's been wonderful chatting with you today. Fantastic. Words of advice, insight, and giving God thanks for your input today into these situations. And I pray that you have a blessed day.
You too. Good to hear you, Pastor
Thank
Carol.
You.
Keep getting better.
God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Feel better.
All righty. Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, what good words we got today from our men regarding these issues. And we are going to take this opportunity to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God. You have been so gracious to us. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. Thank you so much for always looking out for us, for keeping us even while we slept, dear Heavenly Father. We may have awakened to some aches and pains, to some exhaustion and fatigue, but God, you kept us on this side of the grave, and we say thank you, God, because your love continually prevails. Thank you, God, for the ministering this morning. We just don't know what we're going to get from day to day. We don't know what to expect in particular, but we know we're going to get something great, wonderful, and magnificent because you're in the forefront of every conversation. Lord, we lift up Pastor KL before you as he's not feeling well, and we ask you, God, to just touch his body from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, giving you thanks that he was even able to push through and participate today. And we're thanking you for even enabling him to be with us. And we ask you, God, to just keep him on the side of healing and that he would have comfort, rest, and peace very shortly. We are asking you, God, to bless the men of the world, whether they are victims of domestic violence, whether they don't understand their complete role as a father or a husband, whether they're making time for things that are secondary to what's important. We ask you, God, to just draw them close to you, that they would develop, or they would work at, they would find the need, they would have the desire to have a relationship with you, that they would hunger and thirst after your righteousness, that they would hear your voice and answer your call and make the priority of having a relationship with you and make that first. Because once we seek you first, everything automatically comes behind it and everything is in its proper place. Because we've given way to your will and your way. So we thank you, God, for the introduction this morning. There's somebody listening who needed to hear what was said, that advice today. And we're just grateful that we can be used to help direct them to you. We're grateful, dear Heavenly Father, that you use our voices, our bodies, our minds, our hearing, and our seeing so that we can help direct your souls accordingly. We're just grateful, dear Heavenly God, Father, that you chose us. Thank you for choosing us, that we weren't left in darkness, that we have just the opening of salvation before us, and that we choose it on a continual basis, and that we would make it again a focus of our life, the focus of our life. We would not be pulled back and forth trying to impress man, trying to seem like the man, trying to look big, you know, or we got it like that, or whatever it is that we feel, that ego that comes along sometimes, that pride that comes along, that all those things would be put to the side. Thank you, God. Lord, we're lifting up every woman who listens to this broadcast, that she would be instrumental in helping her man be drawn closer to you, whether it's a partner or her husband. We're asking you, God, to raise up every woman, that she would seek you first as well, so that you can direct her as to how to lead her husband. Yes, we play a leadership role as well. And I pray to Heavenly Father that we're not leaning to our own understanding, that we're not being selfish, that we are not victimizing the men, but that we would be there to be the help that you have designed us to be. And we want to thank you, God, for again, if it's not a brand new introduction, it's a reminder that you are great in everything you do, that you consistently invest in us. You never leave us nor forsake us, as your word has given. And you are a man of your promise. Thank you, God, for just keeping us in your hands, never letting us go, despite how many times we move out of place. But you just keep that grip on us. And we give you the glory and the honor to rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Ah, good conversations we're having these days. Good conversations. Ah, so what do we close with today? Well, again, we talked about, you know, the victims of domestic violence who are males, and helping to encourage them that they do not feel ashamed of going through it, that, yes, they can choose wrong also. Yeah, they can have chosen the wrong woman, and she's out of control. But if we lean on the Lord, he will definitely rescue us from any decision that we make that's incorrect, that we won't feel embarrassed and hide in the closet. You know, we can't get no help in the closet. We're going to have to come out and really speak up and not be ashamed or afraid. And, you know, we're going to pray for the leadership of these churches who, you know, have a concern that is secondary to the work of the Lord. You know, we can't help those who come to us. You know, remember, he went first. The gentleman went first to leadership about him being victimized. And they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. So it doesn't surprise me, really, about them not helping him when he came back as a victim. Because let me tell you what happened. That opened up their guilt. They're the reason why he was the perpetrator and no longer just the victim. It's covering up their own wrongs. How do you live with yourself when I first tell you I'm a victim, you don't help me, you know, you shake that off, and then I come back and say, hey, I'm now the one who's committing the crime? What do you say? What do you say to yourself? Well, it doesn't leave much room for you to say anything, does it? No. So, you know, if you're in leadership, you know, you have to get yourself together. You have to make sure you go before the Lord and make sure that, you know, whatever you give your people is a word from God, that you don't give them you before you give them the Lord. You know, I always tell my set, I said, you know, I wouldn't know what to say to you all. I don't have a clue. Because some of the stuff that your your members come to you with, you're like, whoa, what do you say? You don't even know what to say. But because you have a relationship with God, because you are praying for them, because you have kept them close to you, even closer than they would ever see or understand, because you keep them lifted before the Lord, God will always give you a word for his people. And it's not just going to be any arbitrary word. It's not going to be, you know, I can't tell Jane the same exact thing that I told Mary unless it's, you know, something that is fitting. You know, there's no cookie cutter thing here. And again, like was said, you know, I want to be able to sit in service and I want to be able to, you know, be ushered, you know, since this praise and worship thing is so key. You know, I had an associate, an acquaintance or whatever, say to me, you know, I can't go to a church, you know, if they don't have a praise and worship team. I'm like, really? All the other things that a church has to offer, that's where you're going? So since this thing means so much to some of you, especially those of you who are in leadership, then you need to make sure that this comes across as perfect and as godly as possible. Because again, there's no ministry with a bunch of junk going on in the background. I don't care what they say. I don't care what people tell you. It is no ministry there. I don't care how anointed you may be. You know, God will allow you to, you know, get those words out and say those things, but nah, there's no real ministry, you know, there. You think about it. If God really, really allowed, what would be the difference? Let me put it like this. What would be the difference? You have a lie, because you're a liar. You're a liar. You have a lying spirit. Because what praise and worship song you going to be able to sing with a pure heart, a pure mouth, and a pure mind if you are beating up on somebody, if you're a big-time thief, if you are committing adultery? What's the difference between you and the pastor who gets up, who has a double life, and who's living a life that is not in the Lord, but he's standing up or she's standing up every week giving a word? How more effective are you? It's the same dirty, muddy water they are both stepping in. And if God is going to use those, that person to draw all these people to him, then, you know, what would be the, why would he not tell us to make sure that we're walking in his way? Because if we were able to do the same thing dirty as we do clean, then why be clean? That's my question to you. Why be clean? You don't have to be, because you'll be drawing souls to Christ. No. God wants us to make sure that the things that come from us are clean. You know, I can't think of one praise and worship song that I could sing that would, you know, erase my dirtiness. No. If anything, I believe one of them said, you know, you need to be ministering to yourself. But remember now, you shouldn't. You know, Minister AJ talks about this all the time. What are you doing during the week? So if during the week, in your own quote-unquote rehearsal time, your own prayer and worship time, you are singing these songs or you're listening, you know, to your gospel music, that stuff has to minister to you first so that it changes you first. How is it changing somebody else first? How is it helping to deliver someone else first, and it's not doing anything for you? Because let me help you understand something. When you're a preacher, pastor, minister, and you're reading the Word of God, the first thing it hits is your spirit. How many times you read something that you've read a million times? You're preparing a sermon or you're preparing to teach Sabbath school or Sunday school, whatever you're doing, and the word is jumping off the word of God. And you're like, oh, it makes you think of something you said that was not right. It makes you think of something that you did that was not right. That's what the word of God is supposed to do to you. It's supposed to deliver you first. Ain't a way in the world. You're going to be all that effective in helping to save souls and change lives through your praise and worship or whatever you do in the church, teaching, you know, the classes, whatever you do, and you walk around dirty, but everybody else underneath your voice is being saved. Nah. There's going to be something missing from their lives, something that's not going to be complete. There's going to be some emptiness. The job can't completely be done because it's dirty water. The Bible tells us you can't put new wine in dirty grape skin. It just don't work. Old grape skin, no. It's all got to be clean. It says clean water does not come through a dirty faucet. You know, come on, we got to get this together. So you know what? Again, I'm saying to you, if God is dealing with you on something and he's sending you to the altar, do not let anybody disturb your journey. Oh, don't let anybody disturb where you're going. Don't let anybody take you on another path. Don't let anybody sell you a dream that this can all change and you can be different. No, no. Just do what the Lord is telling you to do. And a lot of times, you know, when we share what we're doing, Shanti says this quite often, you know, when you share that information with somebody, when you show and tell people how God is changing you, they get upset. Like you asking them to change. You haven't asked them anything, but they all twisted. Well, the enemy is always twisted when he's losing, and so will his people be when they're losing. When you're always partying and clubbing and drinking and drugging and hanging out and doing all kinds of mischief, of course, they're going to be the first ones to be disturbed by what you do because they ain't got you no more. So you must be a little more important than you think. So come on, let's hold fast to the course that God is putting us on and make sure you don't miss the mark, okay? We give God thanks for our gentlemen today who, if they helped one person, we give God thanks. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, my men of warfare, for definitely encouraging and helping to make that change in your life. And I want to thank you for hanging out with me and listening, and hopefully you will be a doer, not just a hearer of God's word. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Monday, God spares our life, where we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. I love you. Have a wonderful weekend.